Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
The following includes conversation relating to cryptocurrency. The information provided and discussed is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. Any use of any information is done so at your own risk. DV Radio LLC, as well as the hosts and guests of the show, take no responsibility if you wish to use any of the information in your daily life. Again, the topics discussed are strictly for informational and educational purposes only.
I am Chris, the CEO.
My name is Paul, I'm the COO.
I am Chris, aka Little Chris, the Chief Technical Officer.
My name is Zach. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer, better known as the WEN Marketing Officer, because it never gets done, right?
Affinity Innovations. Hour-long show, we will talk about Affinity, crypto in general, DeFi, blockchain technology, and just talk about anything, whatever the hell we feel like talking about.
Get to know us at a little more personal level.
Babbling nonsense.
Is there any cursing rules or anything?
No, you say whatever the fuck you want.
I think they'd be more worried if you didn't curse.
Love these guys.
Show me the money!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Affinity Protocol, WDVRDVRadio.net and Twitch.tv/AffinityDeFi. We are live here on Sunday morning. What is it? March the 26th? It is. March is flying by. It's spring. How you feel about that?
Yeah.
Feel good? No?
Yeah. Almost golfing weather.
Yeah, it's getting there. Hopefully.
Don't act like you golf. That's crazy.
What?
I haven't recently.
Not you, Chris. I know that you spend all your extra time on the back 40. Huh?
Big Chris does golf. But he's just trash at it.
Man, Chris, you ain't never played golf with me. Shut your mouth.
I heard the stories.
I mean, you're hearing it from an awful source. I bet. We all have our games, you know. Overall, I'm not too shabby. I mean, I'm definitely not.
I don't know the difference between the clubs. The fuck? Yeah. I can't play golf. I go and use a driver in the sand. I ain't worried about it.
Hey, man, if you can make it happen, do it. I've used woods in the sand before. Had some success.
So give me a quick, like when is there's woods, there's putters, there's irons, right? And then there's drivers. Is that it?
Yeah. Drivers off the tee, woods long range, irons are mid-range, mid to long range, but typically off the fairway or rough or whatever. And then you got your wedges, the sand.
Okay.
The sand approach. And then you got your putter for the green.
Okay, that's pretty simple, actually. That's not bad.
Yeah. And they all have different angles. Makes the ball loft at different angles, which gives you different distances. Concept is not difficult. The execution, that's another story.
It's a story of every amateur golfer's life. Right. Oh yeah, I can do it sometimes.
Yeah, that's how it always is. It's like anything else, you know. You can explain it to somebody like you're a damn pro. You know all the rules, how you should be standing, how you should be swinging, and then you get out there and try to do it yourself, and no.
Fucking shank that shit into the trees every time.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Sound like me. I can't even go to Topgolf. That's how bad that shit is. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm hitting like I'm barely hitting the first little circles right in front of me. It's crazy. It's all about form, honestly. It's the smallest man's fucking drive that shit 300 meters.
Yeah. Yup.
Happy Gilmore shit.
I watched that shit not too long ago.
Watched it 2 nights ago, actually. I love me some Adam Sandler. Ain't that right, Chris?
Hey, shut up. Damn. That's cold, but anyway.
What about Adam today?
So I think since our last Affinity Protocol, there has been an addition to the Affinity family, so to speak. Zach, you want to talk about that at all? Or what? I mean, it's your personal life. I don't want to force you to, but.
No, absolutely. Yep. So fucking last Thursday we went in, last Friday we went in and, for the labor induction for Kaylee, and little man finally came out on Monday morning at 1:42 in the morning. 42. I had it wrong. It was in 1:43, 1:42 in the morning. Little man came out 8 pounds, 12 ounces, 21 inches long. He's a big ass boy. But it's been great so far. I can say actually last night and the night before, I got 2 4-hour stints of sleep. You feel me? So I think I'm doing pretty good. Yes, sir. We out here.
4 hours, kid. Damn.
You already know we out here racking up the hours real quick. So no, it's been great though. Small complications when he came out. He had to stay in the NICU for a couple days. Kaylee had a really bad fever when he was born. So they had to treat him for a possible infection, which he didn't have. And then he had some extra fluid in his lungs when he was first born, which they had to extract. But they got it all out, no problem. And he's 100% healthy and good to go. Little baby Everest. Yep.
That's awesome. Exciting. That's a long-ass labor, bro.
42 hours.
Yeah.
42 hours. Obviously it wasn't me. I say it's long and I wasn't sitting in that bed. You feel me? So yeah. I can only imagine. But it was nerve wracking too. Like obviously, you know, we got Isabel. So, the first night, you know, she was only like, I think 5 centimeters dilated. And, you know, we live an hour away from home from the hospital. Obviously I could bring Isabel home to sleep. And I was like, fuck. I would really hate for this man to come in the middle of the fucking night. Oh, two, three in the morning. Oh, I still gonna drive an hour back. Like, but that first night he didn't come. There's no problem. And then come to the second night, she was like 9.5 centimeters dilated. And I was like, I can't go home. Like, there's just no way. So we got a hotel that second night. And then sure shit, we got to the hotel at like 9. And then like 2 hours later, she texted me and she's like, I'm not feeling so well. You should probably get here. And then boom, 2 hours later after that, he was here.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's exciting, man. Honestly, I some little things that I forgot, you know, I'm from having a baby to a 4-year-old. Now, I ain't gonna lie. but no, it's all good.
Man, you set him up with a wallet yet?
Oh, of course. He's had that shit for a while. He took over my personal wallet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't matter. Unless you're one of those families that you see on TV and shit with the 12 kids or whatever, I don't think you ever like really remember everything and get used to it, so to speak.
No, I totally agree. And I've always been, obviously, always hear it all the time that every kid is different, which obviously I do believe every kid is different. But like when it comes to how they're raised. But yeah, no, I don't even think I could do this. Even your defense, like you got 3 of them, like, and they're pretty spaced out. So like,
yeah, 5 years apart.
Yeah, that's 5 years, a good time to fucking forget everything. Oh, yeah.
Give me about 48 hours and I'll forget.
That's the damn truth.
So no, that's the same distance. So Isabel actually, she turns 5 in a month, a little bit less than a month. So 5 year difference between Isabel and Everest too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, almost exactly the same situation because my kids are all also a month apart. 5 years and a month.
No shit.
Yep.
They're actually on the same day. Everest is on the 20th and Isabel's on the 20th.
Oh, that's
exactly 1 month apart.
That's funny. My second 2 kids the same. 1 month apart, same day.
Shit. That's fucked up.
Hey, you know what's something more fucked up? It's also March and April.
Oh man, that's actually fucked up. What the hell? That's crazy. Yep. But nah, yeah, it's been good, man. Honestly, super exciting. Obviously, a little nerve-wracking. I do go back to work fucking Tuesday. I had a week off, so I go back to work Tuesday. Mother-in-law's here. Father-in-law's here, too. Mother-in-law's going to be staying for a while, so can't be mad about that. Got a little extra help.
Yep.
Take everything you can get, man.
Oh, yeah.
I would send Paul up there.
Yeah, I don't think you want that kind of help, guy.
You kid need the depression medication and shit by the time he's 6 months old.
That's what I'm saying, man. You don't want that kind of help.
Questioning what he's doing with his life.
Mm-hmm.
Hella funny. Ray is asking. I think you missed your son's name.
Oh, Everest Cole Baker. Hey, the Mount Everest minus one of the R's. Everest.
Wow. That's in preparation for the mountain of shit that he gonna give you.
Oh fuck!
Yep.
He already does it. Again, like, you can't compare apples to oranges, but, like, Isabel was a really calm baby. Like, yeah, obviously all babies cry and shit, but, like, I don't know. She wasn't, like, oh, for example, right? So, fucking Everest, like, he thrashes himself. He will thrash his legs around. He's thrashing his arms around. Like, when you're trying to change him, he is fucking squirming, like, thrashing his shit around. So he's, like, dancing all over the fucking table and shit, trying to wipe his ass, and he's fucking... I'm like, brother. That's all new to me. That's all new. Like, Isabel was fucking
gotta,
still.
You got to hit him with the my brother in Christ.
And I ain't gonna lie, it's a little different cleaning boy parts than it is cleaning girl parts, too.
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder. It's harder to clean boy parts than it is to clean girl parts.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, fuck. But, you know, little stuff like that aside, it's damn near the same, you know? You fucking give them love to eat, sleep, and shit, and that's all they need.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's funny too. I just seen a commercial on TV the other day, made me think of you, man, because it was about, you know, baby stuff. And I forget the name of the product, but one of the taglines was, "We give a shit about shit." I was like, damn.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. But yeah, where's little Chris at? See ya. Back again.
He's over there.
Oh, he went to get a snack.
Oh, he back. He came back in time to call you a bitch of golf.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Still trash.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, that's right. I did kind of hear that. Blocked it out, but I want to catch up with you, man, on a couple things. I know you've been working hard at some stuff. I know, you know, just to kind of to go over that real quick, because I know when, we don't typically give like updates and all that on Affinity, but we don't want to talk about some of the hard work people are putting in for us to be able to properly test things and you know, make sure that we're up and running and get going with a lot of the things that we're doing. And the easiest way, because if you don't know this already, you know, to be able to do some proper testing, there's a couple ways you can do it on chain. And one is to either just deploy things on testnet, which, you know, allows some pretty good testing, but testnet on Binance is not great. And a lot of the things on there are not comparable with mainnet. So it is very, very possible and has happened to many people where you deploy something on testnet that seems to be testing right. And then you go to mainnet and there are functions and features that don't work properly because they're not close enough. Then there's another way. And I'm sure there's, you know, more ways than this, but these are the two biggest ways. There's another way to actually use a forked version of mainnet that already exists through programs like Hot Hat, Foundry, Anvil, but they tend to be extremely slow, which makes it frustrating and annoying to test properly and do some things. So Chris has been hard at work doing some stuff, and I'll let him talk for that for a minute if he wants to.
Yeah, so basically the main goal of this project is essentially to have our own little fork of Binance Smart Chain that we can basically launch Affinity on, have BUSD ADA on, and essentially, for one, push the contract to its limits, see what we can do, what we can't do with it, and then essentially test every other product that we are thinking about, want to just mess around with, or we're about to release on that chain as well.
Which I'm really excited about. Keep asking him, when's it going to be done? When are you going to let me in? So, you know, he's building this, obviously, if you alluded to, like, in-house. So that way it's going to be much quicker, hosted by actually on the server at Chris's house. So it'll be very easy for us to access it, manipulate it, and do what we need to do. And I have a slew of contracts I can't wait to deploy on there. So just get that shit done, man. I'm only playing, but yeah, it's going to be really, really good for us. And it's a lot of work. Just been working hard on this. So pretty goddamn excited. Outside of that, I know we had, we were talking, was it when we were talking, was it during Affinity Friday on, in the Discord, or was it last protocol? I can't remember when we said we wanted to have a discussion on remote work. Might have been last Affinity protocol. That we wanted to talk about the tech space and remote work in general and how that goes and how it's been, you know, either working out, not working out, what some of the pros and cons are and all that mess.
I'm going to say that you talked about that on Affinity Protocol because I was with family for the last one and I don't remember this conversation at all.
That's right. I think it was towards the end because it got brought up and it was like, yeah, we're about to close out and this is a pretty big conversation. So we're going to save it to this week.
Yeah, bullshit. You were bitching that I wasn't remote working to come into the podcast. I know.
That too. Wait.
It's all right. All right.
He said, Paul can't take fucking 10 minutes, that fucking slacker.
I know. I know.
That's what it is, man. It was my mother-in-law's birthday, man. I couldn't be.
Why didn't you bring her on, too? You had to bring her on the show at that point.
Oh, God. They farmers. They don't know. They don't understand cryptocurrency at all.
Thank God, so we can talk about weed for an hour.
Yeah, you could have correlated that easy. Are they farmers? You could have correlated crypto farming with, you know.
Like. Bruh, they not technology or computer people. You'd be like network and they'd be like, nope.
Yep.
You'd be like, yeah, I'll put that net to work. We getting fish? What's up? That's the response you would have gotten.
No, I can understand that. But yeah, so, you know, remote work. I know all of us at one point or another, and all three of us, well, three of us right now, all three of us is four of us on here. Sorry, Zach. three of us do quite a bit of remote work right now. And, you know, I know when it was first kind of, even before COVID hit and remote work was out there, it was limited, right? Certain industries and certain companies were doing it and it was still being worked in. It actually had, from what I could see, there was still some negative connotation to it. And I think a lot of that has to stem with just the age gap and you know, some of the people in higher positions and, not really being mindset of, you know, thinking remote work is okay because it's still like, oh, well, they're at home, right? And kind of that old school feeling is, if you're not in the office, you're not working. And that still rings true to even today with some businesses and some management or individuals in certain positions. But I know, Paul, I know we had some conversation years ago about remote work and how it impacts us as individuals and some people can handle it. Some people can't, or some people can't handle it, but then maybe their home lifestyle, makes it difficult. You want to talk about something?
I think that's the huge problem. 'Cause we did talk about that when we had a, a coworker of ours that was starting remote work. And then, like, even the position I'm at now, I have the opportunity every now and then to, you know, take a remote day here and there. And, you know, there's enough work for me to do to actually get a lot of stuff done remote where I don't have people bothering me, which is nice. But the problem is, and you know this too, just from way back from when we were working with a different company, we got lucky when, I don't want to say this is going to sound bad, we got lucky when COVID started, because our remote work was designed so that there is a backup crew in case somebody on the on crew got sick. So there wasn't actually remote work for us to do, but we were basically just, hey, you're 2 weeks at home, hang out with the phone. And that was it. So that kind of set in my family dynamic, at least, that kind of set a bad precedent for what remote work entailed. Because fast forward to, you know, when we were working in Taunton and we had like a random like overtime Saturday because there was stuff that had to get done. Like, I'm downstairs at my desk working, and I'm truly working.
Yeah.
But because that dynamic, the last remote opportunity, had kind of, like I said, it set that precedent. There was an expectation on my family side for what I was and wasn't available to do. And it's something that I still to this day battle with, for what I can and can't get done if I'm working remotely. So that's a good example of, like, and I'm not trying to blame anyone in particular in my family or anything like that, but it's a good example of someone who can do the work remotely, but just based on how a family dynamic is built, it makes it a lot more difficult to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can agree with that, because that was one of the big parts of that conversation, where, like, you know, try to get things done at home. And during the week when, you know, kids are at school, and I know your situation is a little different because, like, my wife works out of the house. So like when she's at work, the kids are at school, it's easier for me to get some things done. But like school vacations, or things like that over the summer, it makes it a little bit more challenging because, like you said, people, sometimes assume that you're just available, right? Like, oh, he's just sitting downstairs. Go get him. You can go run some errands. You can, you know, do whatever. And it's like, hey, you know, I'm working here. I got shit to do. I'm working here.
And I'll be honest. Part of it, you know, part of it is on me as well, for like, even now with remote work, sometimes setting that precedent. Cause we've all done it before too. Like, where you're working from home remote and you're just like, I don't feel like there's not a lot of work for me to do right now. I just don't feel like fucking doing anything. There's all sorts of shit that I could be doing. Like, I'm gonna take care of some of that other shit. I've done it before. Like, I'll take Friday, for example, man. I took a half day to come home and work remote. And on my way home, I went grocery shopping because your boy needed groceries. COVID ripped through my house. We didn't have shit in the house for groceries. So hell yeah, I went to the store and I picked up some groceries. So that was like, you know, an hour and a half where I was quote unquote working remote because I was available. If someone called me or whatever, I could always hotspot on my laptop and, or from my phone to my laptop and get stuff done. But I also chose to do a personal errand when I was quote unquote working from home. So it's like, sometimes you can do stuff like that, but that's the thing, is it's not all the time. It's you get to choose when, if you have the bandwidth in your home life to do that or not.
I'm not going to lie, I've been working from home for shit. This has been up until this month. It's been 2 years, maybe a little over 2 years. I've been working from home, strict from home. And I can say, so I mean, I can give you actually a timeline in which that I've gone through from working at home, because this has been a mental struggle for me. So initially, when it was just Isabel and I, obviously, Les Paul had said, or Chris had alluded to, like, when kids are home, you know, I gotta get up and make lunch, and I gotta get up and make dinner, I gotta make sure breakfast is done. Obviously, I still got to spend time with her, she still needs snacks, drinks, like, all this shit throughout the day. So me sitting down at my computer and working is really only, like, what, fucking 30 to 45 minutes at a time, maybe. And then I gotta get up and do something over and over and over again.
Yep.
And then, Trent, just, you know, going a little bit forward, you know, we moved, we got a bigger place, I finally have my own office. Like, before, my office was in the living room, so obviously, I was right next to the fucking TV, like everything. My kid was always there right next to me. There was no privacy. So flash forward about September, we moved, we got a bigger place, I got my office, and nothing's fucking changed.
Yeah. It's a guy Disney Junior playing whatsoever. Right there.
You know, even before the baby, you feel me? Like, I'm still, can you go do this? Like Paul said, can you go to the store? You know, can, you know, all this shit that could be done, you know, outside, quote unquote, outside of work hours, but because it's convenient for me to do it because I'm home already, like, why not just go and do it? Or why not be asked to do it? And then I got to seem like a fucking asshole because I'm like, no, like, I have to sit down for a few hours. I'm sorry, but like, I have to fucking work. You know,
yep.
So that has transitioned into me getting a job outside the house. Right. So I'm now officially working outside the house again, and it's been fantastic. I can wake up, do my at home work like an hour or two before work, go to work. And then when I come home, everything is done. So I don't have to worry about my at home work. I don't have to worry about my, you know, my day job. And now I can focus on family. I found that to be a lot fucking easier than anything else. Working at home can be really fucking hard. Really hard.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's overlooked. But again, it depends on people's home dynamic. If you're, you know, I guess, suppose if you either are single or you have, you know, people that are quiet in your house or not around very much, then it's really on you, on your self-discipline. And that's another thing, because I've seen, you know, the general rule is that people are more productive when they work from home. But that is a general rule. There are also a whole lot of people out there that just don't have that self-discipline.
And there's also a whole lot of pieces of shit out there.
Yeah, taking advantage of it. They ain't doing shit. You know, they're home and they're like, all right, nobody can see me. They ain't doing shit. You know, and I'll be frank. I mean, I do a whole lot of affinity stuff, you know, pretty much all day. But I get my work done. I get both done. You know, and then I'm working on that shit all through the night as well. So it's just, it depends on the individual. It depends on family stuff. There's a lot that could be said. A lot of variables.
It depends on type of employment as well. Like,
yeah.
You know, my wife works remote, but take her, for example. She's a 1099 employee. So she makes her own schedule. She don't have a, sure, she has someone that she answers to at work. But when it really comes down to it, you know, she says, I'm available or I'm not available, because she makes her own schedule. She tells them what hours she's worked. If they want to log under the system and verify, sure, whatever. But she doesn't have a schedule. She tells them when she's going to be available, when she's working. And as long as the person she reports to, which is the director of operations for the company, is okay with it, then they don't say anything. She can be like, yeah, I'm not available. Done. So if you're talking remote work, it can sometimes depend on the type of employment that you have as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And now since COVID, it's become, you know, almost the norm or the standard in certain jobs, you know, with, especially in the IT field, a lot of customer service jobs, things like that. And, you know, when you go online and you're looking for employment, so this is where, you know, hopefully come back. I know it looks like Chris stepped away, but, you know, this is where it gets a little tricky with the job hunting part. If you are looking for remote work, because there are a couple factors that make it actually more lucrative for the employer and make it harder for the employee, when it comes to remote work and hire new people. And one of those things is, you know, regional pay. And it's easier for them to be, them as in the employer, to be more, or I should say actually probably less competitive in pay. And it's more competitive on the people trying to apply for that position. Because if you think about a job that's 100% remote, that means it's open to the entire, at least the country, more than likely. Unless it's one of those jobs where they want you to come in periodically into the office, then you have to be within commuting distance or flight distance if that's what you want to do, depending on how often they require you to be there. Well, let's say it's a national job. They don't require you to come in. It's 100% remote. It's much more competitive because now when you look at a job where maybe you have to come into the office all the time, you have the only people applying for that are people within commuting distance, that are willing to drive in, have transportation, all that stuff. But when it's open to the entire country, now you have a pool of hundreds and thousands of people that are now probably even qualified for it, for the position, that are all applying. And then when you look at regional cost of living and salaries, you know, Massachusetts, California, like these places are all very, very expensive. New York, New Jersey, expensive places to live. But what happens is a company from one of those places can do a full remote job and hire somebody from, say, the Midwest or the South, where cost of living is much cheaper. And how the hell are you going to compete with that? Right? I can't live on the same salary as an equivalent, family size and all that as somebody that lives in one of those locations because I'm in Massachusetts. It's just not possible. The cost of living is way too high.
Well, so, I think that's why you see people moving to those areas as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so that to me is the real sticky part with remote work. Outside of that, it's it all comes down to like those elements that we've already discussed. But the pay thing, that's the big one. And if you talk to a lot of people in business, I mean, shit, you know, we've done it going through the hiring process, and we've looked at different candidates and from all over the place, and you know, it didn't really come down to salary, you know, specifically for that location, because we generally do contract work. We're not in a position right now to hire full-time employees, but, you know, you see it. You get candidates from all over the damn place. And for the most part, you're going to get qualified people from whatever part of the country you're looking. So, depends on how long somebody wants to hold out for. But, you know, generally remote work is a good thing. And like I said, it does make people more productive. I know in my experience, at least because I have very good employees and people that I've worked with that know what they're supposed to do, actually handle their business. You know, and when they are remote, they are actually working and getting jobs done. But it can be pretty bad. But, you know, I guess that's one of the good things that came from COVID, was it opened people's eyes and minds to that opportunity, where before, like I said, it was almost looked at from a lot of people as being either lazy or, you know, why should we bother doing this? Or do we? Oh, there's another one. They were trying to pay remote workers less because you're working from home and not having to come in. There was some of that going on. You know, but I think because it became more of a norm since COVID, that kind of evened the playing field a bit. Although pay, like we just said, pay is different depending on regional. And I know even there were some companies in the beginning of this that if you were living within the local, say you worked for that company and you were in office, and then they decided to make your job full remote. And then that person decided, hey, you know what? Since I'm full remote anyway, I've been wanting to move, and then moved, and that company found out there were companies that were trying to lower their pay after they moved because now they're living in one of those lower cost of living places. And to me, that's shitty. Like, how can you do that? You know, just because somebody decided to move to a cheaper location, you're going to try to lower their pay?
Actually, Kaylee has a friend. He works in some type of software engineering. He works from home. He makes in the U.S. He makes like 120. He doesn't want to live in the U.S. He's born and raised here, but he wants to move to the U.K. And the only thing that's holding him back is if he moves to the U.K., he's going to make 65. Same job, same position, same everything. He'll make 65 instead of 120.
Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah. Crazy. Strictly because of that. And I mean, like, I understand it. I really do, because logic would say, well, the money that you're saving in the U.S. should be the same amount that you're saving, like, scale wise out there. But that's not always the case either. So, like,
yeah, but either way, why is that the company's business? True. If the if the job does not require you to come into the office at all. Now, if they said, all right, well, this is going to cost us more, you living out of the country, and I don't see why it would, but, you know, maybe benefits or something like that. If they, you know, if they, I don't know the laws in the UK, but if you're operating in the US and you have employees in the UK, if you're required to pay certain, you know, taxes or certain medical expenses or whatever, I have no idea. But if they could justify that, that their cost is going to go up to keep this person employed, or if they required somebody to come in and now they can no longer come in, so therefore they're lowering their pay because the job itself is now going to have to change, fine. But outside of that, what the hell is it their business where somebody's physically putting their ass, as long as the workload and their job requirements and expectations have not changed?
Exactly. Right. No, I totally agree.
Why the fuck is that your business? What my ass is, you know? I'm still doing the same work.
True.
You know?
True.
Yeah, that's got to be frustrating.
I mean, it just puts you in a bind. Like, now I can't move to the place that I want to move because they're forcing me to stay in a... Like, it just makes no fucking sense. It really makes no sense.
But the UK, what, are you addicted to rain?
Right, Washington State and Oregon had no places available.
Could go into mad tops about that. They got good food and beer out that way when I was stationed out there, though.
Right here, that's one part of the country I've not been to. I've actually not been to any state. I think I've been to almost every state in the country, with the exception of a couple that are in the Heartland area, except for the ones on the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington. None of them.
You ain't missing much, that's for sure. No.
Oh, damn.
You ain't missing shit. I got nothing good to say about those states, man. Nothing good. It's crazy, honestly.
Also, they got good beer.
And food.
Craft beer and food out there.
They got good weed.
That's it. Oh, I don't know about that life, man.
But that's about it. Oregon wasn't bad. Yeah, that was a brief. We really just drove through that. The Oregon, Washington, up in that area. Again, it was just like a pass through, see what it looked like.
Drive through. So let me get your opinion on this, because this is one thing that I've seen from people that I know that live there and stuff, and just in general. Mm-hmm. It does look very beautiful, like outside mm-hmm. of the cities, right? Anytime you're in a city, it's, you know, not going to look beautiful. But, you know, outside the city, I heard at least like Oregon and stuff, very, very beautiful place to be.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. It, much like New Hampshire and stuff like that, to be honest with you, that's what I can compare it to.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more rainy, honestly. But other than that, no, it's fucking gorgeous. I wanted to go up because I wanted to see the infamous fucking Nike running track. They're like track and field track. It's like in the middle of the fucking woods. It's so gorgeous.
Wait, what?
It's so gorgeous. Yeah, Nike has their own sponsored track and field, like running track. And it's literally like in the middle of a forest. It's fucking gorgeous. Like, there's a forest in the middle of the track and around. It's so fucking sick. It's so cool.
Is it like a trail that goes through it, or is it like a giant oval track?
Like a giant oval track. Really? Yeah. Like tar. Like, yeah. An official track, but it's like in the middle of the forest. It's fucking sick. Yeah. And then other than that was the redwoods, but those are in California, the top of California. I had to see the redwoods. That redwood forest is something fucking magical, man. It's crazy.
That's the one thing I wish I had done when I was out there that I never did.
Definitely worth it. Definitely worth it.
That would have taken me too close to in proximity to San Francisco, though. And, you know, I can't be caught around them 49ers fans.
No, 49ers fans would not be too happy with an Eagles fan. Right now, give it at least another year.
Exactly.
So one thing that's speaking of football and sports right now is pretty exciting for Massachusetts. We got sportsbook betting that just came into the state.
Oh, is it official?
It is official.
Oh, okay.
Sportsbook betting. I'm not really much of a gambler or especially, sports betting person myself, but got some people that are pretty excited about it that have been dabbling in it.
Well, they've been hitting it hard. I don't know what you're talking about, dabbling in it.
Well, and the reason I say dabbling is because they're hitting it hard as far as volume, but their bets have been low.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're by no means, putting up any hard cash, but.
I mean, I still wouldn't call that dabbling, though. They fucking. They got mad fucking bets going.
Mad $5 bets.
Hey, you know what, though? They add up because somebody's been doing pretty freaking good with it.
Well, what happened is they give you, when you sign up for like $5, $10, or $20, I think, depending on what platform, they give you like $100 or $200 in free bets. But the stipulation on that, and it's actually not a bad stipulation, is you have to bet the entire thing. I forget which one it is, FanDuel or whatever. They give you $200, but you have to bet the entire $200. And if you win, you keep the winnings. You don't keep the 200. You keep the winnings from that bet.
Right, right.
So that's, I know one of them, that's what he did. He bet the whole 200 and he actually ended up, he won like, I think he went, it was like a 50 something, you know, so whatever. It was like a little more than the 200 or a little less than the 200 is what he got in return. So.
Still not bad.
Yeah, no. But then after that, that's when he went back to like the $5, $10 bets.
Yeah.
With his winnings, but. Yeah. Not too bad, but. Not really my thing. We'll see what football season happens.
I got one number on the Powerball before.
Oh, yeah, that's about all I got. I don't think I ever got more than like one.
You got one. Oh, shit. That's
right, like man.
One step into being a roller.
Yep.
One step to having my wife tell me it was a waste of money to buy a ticket, you know?
Goes by like that.
I never get that. My wife's kind of a degen when it comes to scratch tickets and shit.
Yeah, I can't believe y'all won. Was it back to back, right? It was like a grand.
Yeah. So
are you floating Zach some? Because you only got them tickets because you went up to the baby shower with him, right?
I don't remember. Like
you hooking a boy up?
Yeah, you got one on the way back because you felt bad about the cut.
Oh, one of them was. Yeah, you're right. You're right. One of them was the first one. Yeah. So I don't generally buy them because I went on like a decade streak where I'm not joking, man. I would buy one, like when we got paid bi-weekly. One thing was, I'll buy one $20 ticket every payday, right? Just one. That's all I did. And I went on like a fucking damn near decade streak of like not even getting my money back. Like, how does that happen? Like $20 tickets have pretty decent odds to at least get your money back.
Oh, yeah.
And I would never.
Not for you, guy.
Not for me. Like, never even get that shit back. And then I just stopped buying them. And then. My wife, when I go to get beer on Affinity Fridays and stuff, she'll say, "You want to pick me up a scratch ticket?" I used to get like a $5, $10 ticket. Yeah, I got a $10 ticket for that one of the nights, and she hit for $500. I was like, "Oh, sweet, right? That's pretty fucking good, right?" Especially after
about time I get a payout, right?
Right. So I'm like, "Oh, that's pretty fucking sweet." So take that after we finally get around to cash it in, and take that $500 ticket, cash it in. Buy some beer with it for the next time I need it. And then bought another ticket. I think this time might have been a $20 ticket. I can't remember. And she hits $1,000 on it.
Oh, $1,000 on that ticket?
Yeah.
Oh, so $1,500 in total?
$1,500 in total on two tickets.
Man. That's crazy.
I was like, that's fucking sweet.
Did you ever see the video of the dude who hit the lottery? This was back in, I think, like 98. Dude hit the lottery, right? And they wanted to film. They wanted to do like a refilming of him hitting the lottery.
So
they
asked him
to buy it. Hit it again.
And he hit it again, yo! In the fucking video, dude made like $1 million on two fucking tickets.
Crazy. I remember that. Yeah, they were doing a reenactment, but he bought an actual ticket in the reenactment.
Hey, y'all would have seen someone get robbed on live television if I was there.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy.
I couldn't imagine. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one. It was, we had one lady that was, a tourist that came through and bought a $30 ticket at a convenience store pretty close to my house. And she ended up winning like, I think she ended up winning like $10 million or some shit.
Damn.
Yeah. Wife was like, oh, see, I'm like, first of all, I don't buy tickets at that store. Second, I don't buy $30 tickets. So stop playing like, oh, if only we had went there and bought it. Don't play that game. Because there's no situation that would have put us in that position to have been eligible. And then eligible.
People that rolled deep on scratch, I was getting a $30 scratch off. Damn. Right.
I know.
Ain't you would not see me playing a $30 scratch.
Nah. Nope. So, but the my mindset is if you are going to play them, though, you got to go higher in the value because, like I said, the odds, if you look up the odds of winning at a $1 or a $5, your odds are pretty, pretty shitty. Like, and I'm talking even just to get your money back. It goes up significantly. You say that, but
my son, come Christmas time, because my in-laws like doing like just stuff in the stocking full of like $1 scratch-offs, right? Yeah. No rhyme or reason. So like my mother-in-law will go buy like 100 of them and just split them up between people's stockings, you know, stuff like that. Man, tell me how the ones I'm scratching for my kid, who's not even paying attention, dude, on like, I don't know, like 10 $1 scratch-offs had like 30 something bucks. Let me correct that. I got like 30 something bucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then you tell him, hey, good luck cashing these in, guy.
No, we put in his savings account.
Oh, you got to take a little off the top, right? You gotta get that dad tax. I got to go stop and get me a coffee.
Oh, 100% took one of his Reese's cups because they also put like some Reese's cups in his stocking. And there I was Christmas morning, coffee in hand, taking a Reese's cup from his stocking too.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So, hey, we got about 10 minutes left here. I'm trying to think of, what's been going on in the world of crypto? I know financially across the globe and across the US, things are still kind of shaking up a bit. I know things calmed down a little bit with the news from the bank, but I heard, Deutsche Bank or whatever is having some issues. I was just
about to say that. Yeah, Jim Cramer said that shit's a buy. You already know.
I know, yeah.
So how long until they tank?
They already did.
Yeah. Oh.
They got bought out.
Yeah. That didn't take long.
No. She was on a downtrend and he said that shit's a buy. Blew my mind, man. Blew my fucking mind.
Yeah, he needs to retire already, man. Just get out of the spotlight.
Something.
Yep.
He just got bad luck, guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'd say that.
I'm saying that shit ain't luck. That shit is fucking.
I mean, he helping somebody out because he's saying, hey, this is when you should buy. And everybody else being like, all right, time to sell. Well, take profits.
You got that ETF now. You see that one?
Kramer ETF, yeah.
Yeah, it goes opposite of what he says.
Oh, man. Yeah. People rich as hell right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about throwing a little in there just to see how it plays out. I got to look at how it's been performing, though.
Oh, it don't even matter if they're doing the opposite of what he says. You know their retirement accounts are sitting fat.
Well, that's how you get them to retire. You know, as soon as I throw in that ETF, he'll retire.
Yes.
Exactly. Mark would be like, nah, Chris Santos can't get no money. Yeah, nah,
no, he gets none.
Done.
You're retiring. ETF's going under. Yeah, but yeah, this whole bank thing, I mean, between that and then the SEC still wiling out, you know, Gary making other statements now saying that, you know, all crypto projects are probably out of regulation. It's funny that they say this kind of shit, too, because what is regulation? Right? You want to say everybody's probably out of regulation. Well, tell me what the hell regulation is.
I can't tell you what regulation you're out of either. They just say you're out of regulation.
Yeah. And I know Coinbase, I think it's Coinbase, right, is actually going through some shit with them right now because I've seen some statements from them saying, well, they tried. They, you know, Gary keeps talking about, oh, make sure you go to their website and you know, register and all this shit. But, you know, I keep seeing statements from Coinbase that says, well, we tried. We went to your website. We can't find, there's no information. We're trying to register. Like, how do I register?
Yeah, we'll do it. Well, how? I don't know, but you better do it.
I mean, that's a little confusing too, because Coinbase is going to start fucking, they're accepting crypto for pro crypto political candidates now. And now go through Coinbase.
Oh, shit.
Which kind of leads back to what we talked about. I think it was the last podcast, how we think that Coinbase is going to be like the central crypto entity for the US, and that kind of solidifies it right there.
Yeah. Yep. Kind of taking the place of what they thought FTX was going to become.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but why would they? Obviously, they had to get that passed to accept crypto donations for political campaigns. Like, they just can't willy-nilly that. So, like, clearly the government doesn't give a fuck.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, for us, from a personal stance, with what we got going on here at Affinity, where, you know, we're trying to keep track of all this stuff, and we're doing a damn good job of it. But obviously, every time this chucklehead decides to speak, we got to do a little bit more digging. And in one case, you know, I know we're looking at some of the products we're putting out, and one in particular, that we talked a little bit about. I think I was having a conversation with a couple of our mods the other day in our chat. With the staking platform that, yes, I know we've, been on the cusp of releasing this thing for a few weeks now, but with the attacks they've been having on staking and yield farming and other things, I know a lot of it pertains to, traditional staking, that being with, an actual blockchain to validate and all that.
It's the word staking is almost under attack right now.
Exactly. And their knowledge and their lack of understanding of how the blockchain technology works, how cryptocurrency works, tokens and layer one versus layer two and a lot of other things. You know, just like when you watch, these congressional hearings, they don't really understand technology, and they have these hearings and it's almost laughable. Like when they had the one with, when they brought Facebook in and Twitter and they were talking about certain things, and now they have TikTok in. And you can tell they have no idea what they're talking about. And it's a lot of grandstanding and that kind of thing. So same thing's happening with SEC and some of the things that they're doing. They don't really understand it. He's basically just trying to throw a monkey wrench in anything outside of what the SEC and the government want to approve. So we got to kind of tap dance around that. And one of the things is with that staking platform. So I am actually actively working. I did some work last night. I'm not really going to get into it. But I did some work last night again on some contract stuff, because we have some ideas on how we can protect ourselves, for the long term, because once we launch this thing, it's going to be out there and people are going to stake, and we want to make sure that, we're mitigating, you know, risk, not only on Affinity from, you know, a blockchain standpoint, but from a company standpoint. And then all of you out there that are holders and contribute to this platform. So, I have some ideas that I implemented. Some testing went very, very well last night. So I'm going to continue to do that. But this, hopefully some of these changes and some of these tweaks we're making are going to help with that. Because some of the outlook they have, you know, I'm trying to, and it's very hard, but I'm trying to put myself in this guy's mind and see what ignorance is coming from his side of the table and his side from his desk. And say, okay, how can I make it so what we're doing doesn't look like what he is painting claiming in his brain? Yeah. So, you know,
that's the battle.
Yeah, that's the struggle. But fuck him. All right. All right, Gary, if you listen to our podcast right now, fuck you. All right.
What he said, yeah.
You're gonna get paperwork in the mail and you'll be like, ah, shit.
Yeah, right? Imagine that shit. All the other wild shit going on right now. They're like, oh, we just happened to tune into Affinity Protocol because they fuck you.
Yo, fuck us. Yeah, watch this.
Yeah, seriously.
Nah, but seriously. Fuck him.
Nah, he's a fucking cuck. He's done nothing since he fucking got in. Like, what was it? 2 years ago, he was appointed.
Something like that. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
He paints this picture like they're out to protect everybody, right? And that was the idea. That's what the SEC was stood on. It was the idea to protect people from people like Bernie Madoff and shit. And there are like some, and we all know it, right? There's some legitimate ass scams out there that are just ripping people off, especially people that don't have the proper education and knowledge on how to invest, right? That's why you have rules like, being an accredited investor in order to, invest certain amounts of money into, companies that are just doing private investing. Because it is very easy to stand up a business and say, hey, we're doing private investing, take everybody's money and leave. Very much like doing a rug pull on a blockchain. So those protections were put in place for good reason, and a lot of them are needed, but they don't always translate into every other avenue of technology and everything else. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to enforce some of the same things that exist in traditional markets into the blockchain, crypto, and DeFi space. And even the differences between centralized financing and decentralized are so drastically different that they're not even taking that into consideration. It's like trying to do this blanket, convoluted bullshit that nobody even understands and blanketed it across all different industries. Not going to work.
Well, hey, man, you know the whole saying that all press is good press. I mean, I think we've been pretty lucky in the sense that even with all the negative stuff going around, I mean, Bitcoin had rallied up to, you know, 28,500.
Yeah.
Market's not looking terrible. It's not looking as bad as it really easily could be based on the circumstances. I mean, Bitcoin's still holding at 27,500 right now. I mean, it just goes to show that it might be having a reverse effect on what they want it to have, which is where it's giving, I don't want to say notoriety, but it's allowing people to notice crypto, and it could start, a decent turn on the market there for crypto.
It's very true. Very, very true. And there's some that believe that, that it's acting as a safe haven, like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, part of the reason their existence was to be a safe haven and a hedge against the fiat currency. I was going to say USD, but really no matter where you are in the world, it's supposed to be a hedge or a safe haven away from traditional fiat currency. And it started kind of that way and then fell off and became more of a trading mechanism. And now it seems that potentially that some of that is coming back into play. I don't know. This could be a bull trap. I have no idea. I'm not even going to speculate on it. You have to do your own research on that. But, there are some people that believe that's what it is. Some people that believe it's a bull trap. In either case, global news is always going to have an impact. So always watch out for that. So even if it is a hedge, even if it looks like this is the beginning of our next bull market, just be mindful of everything else that's going on in the world. And understand that could always put a very positive spin or put a damper on no matter what the market's doing. So, but for right now, well, let's take advantage of what's going on and where it looks good and hope this is the beginning of the next bull run. I for damn sure hell could yeah. use it.
I'd like that.
Yep. And that, I think that's a good note to start wrapping up and closing out this week's Affinity Protocol. Don't know what the hell happened to Chris. You better be working on my damn blockchain fork.
He said he had to bounce about halfway through.
Oh, that's right. I remember seeing that text. All right. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
All right. Alzheimer's kicked in real quick.
Well, but I'd expected to. I mean, it is Chris, so I don't know why I would have expected it, but I expected, all right, hey, I got to take off. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But it is Chris, so.
He said it. You just didn't hear it. That's just all.
No way. He didn't say it. I'm going to go back and listen to the recording.
Nah, he didn't. He didn't.
Yeah, we were talking. I was in the moment. But anyway, Chris, hopefully you listen to you. Probably not. But whatever you're doing right now, enjoy yourself. Get my blockchain done. Anybody else got anything they want to add before we close this week out?
Nah, man, y'all have a good week.
Zach?
Nah, I got nothing. Same thing. I hope everybody has a great week. Of course, 2 weeks out, we get Affinity Protocol again. This week is not Affinity Friday week. It'll be the following week. So keep that in mind. And
what you talking about?
Oh, no, it is this week.
Huh? It is this week. Yeah, today's Sunday.
Oh, shit, today is Sunday. Today's Sunday. I forgot. Yeah, last Friday we didn't do anything because that was when the baby was born.
Yeah, I'll give you the baby pass.
Yeah, that was it. So, no, you're right, though. That's really it. So keep an eye out for Affinity Protocol this week. Next, Jesus Christ, Affinity Friday this week, Affinity Protocol in 2 weeks. I can't fucking talk. I'm gonna end on that one.
There you go. So I don't got much else either except to say I hope you all have a great week. Zach, get some sleep. Pay attention to everything that's going on in their markets. Take advantage of it. Be smart. Be safe out there with your money and your investments. Do some research. See what you can do to position yourself for when the next bull market comes. Let's go out there. Let's get that money. Let's put out some good products. Make Affinity the powerhouse that we know it can be. All right. On that note, we are going to end this week's Affinity Protocol. Thank you to Bo and everybody at DV Radio. DVRadio.net. Check them out. We're also live here on Twitch. We're going to be around. So you all have a great day, great week, and we will talk to you soon. We are out of here.
Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.